the number of migrants making the dangerous journey across the Mediterranean or across land to reach Europe has been increasing in recent weeks. In July, more than 5,500 migrants arrived by boat in Italy, raising concerns about the spread of COVID-19 there. Greece has been at the center of the migrant crisis in Europe for years. Let's check in on the situation there via Skype with Ava Kase, who's a researcher with Human Rights Watch. She's at a park in Athens where she's been interviewing migrants. And Ava, give us a sense of how many migrants are coming over this year in the middle of the pandemic.
Compared to what was happening in 2015 and the years after, the numbers have dropped dramatically. However, we see over the last few months an increase in arrivals. Despite the intensive pushback operations that the government is implementing and that Human Rights Watch as well as other organizations have documented, both at the land border and at the sea border. Despite that, and despite the fact that the government is pushing back people to Turkey, we've seen an increase in arrivals over the last few months.
And where are they coming from?
The vast majority of arrivals increased still are from Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan. But we also have other nationalities from African countries, from Pakistan. But the vast majority are from Syria and Afghanistan.
And what are the conditions when they arrive? How does it work given the situation with the pandemic?
Depends on where they arrive. If they cross through the sea to one of the Greek islands, they would have to stay in quarantine in one of the camps that the government has set up near the sea border, near the beaches. And they will have to stay there, but without, according to what we have documented, without any real protective measures. And then once the 14 days have passed, they will be transferred to one of the big camps where, unfortunately, there are currently 26,000 people in facilities that are designed for 6,000 people. So as you can imagine, it's almost nearly impossible to follow any social distancing rules, to wash your hands without waiting in the queue, to take your food without waiting in the queue next to other people. It's very hard to protect yourself from COVID-19.
Have there been any outbreaks?
No, there haven't been. And this is, I would say, out of pure luck so far.
And once these migrants are in these camps, what happens to them next? Are there still programs to resettle them in places like Germany and in Scandinavian countries and other EU countries?
So there is, first of all, what we call the family reunification scheme. So if you have a family in another member state, you're allowed to apply to reunify with your family. And now, over the last few months, there's been joint collective effort by member states to relocate voluntarily. So it's not a compelling mechanism. It's not obligatory. But member states can opt in and decide to relocate some people from the islands or from the mainland. This has mainly focused on unaccompanied children, children who are traveling without a parent or a caregiver and who are stuck in those horrible camps. But, for example, Germany has expanded this voluntary scheme to relocate also families that have one or more members who are really sick, for example. Mm-hmm. But just to say that the numbers of relocation are very low. We're talking about, you know, each country pledging to take 10, 15, 20, 100 people, while in the camps there are 26,000 people living in horrible conditions.
Now, you mentioned some of the migrants are being sent to Turkey in a deal that's been worked out and has gotten contentious over the years. What's happening with that situation at this point?
Yes. So these people that I described are not sent to Turkey under the EU-Turkey deal. We're talking about illegal pushback operations. So people landing on Greece's shores, on the island, being apprehended by Greek law enforcement officers, the Coast Guard, not being registered officially, taken back to the sea and being put in rescue tent-like rafts and left to drift near Turkish water. And that's where Turkish Coast Guard will pick them up and take them back to Turkey. And the same happens at the land border. So we're talking about people managing to cross to Greece and even managing to move deep in the mainland, getting some kind of documentation, but being apprehended by the police, taken back to the border, and in secret operations, pushed back through the river to Turkey.
I also have to ask you about the children, because you just mentioned children who are unaccompanied and I assume have made a very dangerous journey across the water to get to Greece. And just give us a sense of what they have gone through. Have you spoken with any of them?
Yes, this is one of our focuses, the challenges that unaccompanied children face in Greece. They've been through perilous journeys. They've been through child labor in order to survive, through, you know, negotiating with smugglers. And they managed to get to Greece. And what they face in Greece is, again, another horrible situation. Many of them are stuck in these island camps without access to anything basic because the special facilities for unaccompanied children are already overcrowded. They have to fend for themselves and sleep literally on the ground, unprotected from the violence in the camp, from, you know, adult strangers, from traffickers. But you also have part of these children who, over 1,000, who live homeless in city centers like Athens. And then you also have at around 200 unaccompanied children who are detained in police station cells, so they are put behind bars, usually in the basement of police stations, for their own protection. This is a system that Greece has established and detains children for their own protection in those horrible cells until a place is found in one of the shelters. We've launched a campaign in April calling on the Prime Minister to free the kids, to release them, because it's not a big number and because a detention cell is never a good place for a child.
And yet, of all the countries in Europe, Greece is actually doing more than most when it comes to helping refugees, right?
Yeah. I mean, yes and no, because Greece has always treated refugees and asylum seekers, and Greece as a country has seen itself as a transit country. So it has never invested into the integration of people. It has never realized that people will stay here. So now we're facing a new situation where you have recognized refugees, so not asylum seekers anymore, who are homeless in squares and parks in the streets of Athens. We're talking about thousands of people. And currently, as I speak to you, I am in one of the parks in central Athens interviewing people who were asked to leave from the camps because now they are recognized refugees, but without any tools about how to rent an apartment, how to learn the language, how to find a job. And they find themselves homeless in the streets of Athens.
What is the long-term solution to this? Because especially in the time of the pandemic, many countries, all countries, are going to be even more skeptical than before about bringing in refugees.
Well, we as civil society should push them more to accept refugees. This is an important part of the solution. More solidarity with Greece, burden sharing, a permanent mechanism to relocate people from external border countries such as Malta, Italy, Greece, and to take them, you know, in other countries in order to process their asylum applications. Of course, financial support to Greece, but not only that, pressure to Greece to use wisely the funds that are given by the European Commission and the European Union.
Do any of the refugees that you speak with want to eventually go back to their home countries?
Yes, I would say more of the Syrians. They still hope that one day their country will, you know, be out of war and that they will be able to go back and rebuild it. This is less seen among the Afghan population because they have a war for so many years. I think that they lost their hope, so they want to find a new life, but in my experience and from what I see when I speak to people, they always, you know, if the situation was better in the countries, they would return there.
That is Eva Kase, who's a researcher with Human Rights Watch, joining us from a park in Athens where she's interviewing refugees as we speak. Eva, thank you so much and good luck to you.
Thank you very much.